Today I won't waste time. There's something you're going to be really glad about. I can't write on my larger notebook the notes and all the outlines, so I've had to reduce my notebook to this little thing, which means condensed messages. So this may be a blessing, especially today. And in Ephesians, beginning with verse 15, chapter 1, verse 15 through 23, and then we're just going to exegete this and look at all the good tidbits and insights and practical, there's the practical teaching that's in this. But listen as we read it. I'm using the New International Version today. I haven't used it in a while, but we're going to use the NIV. And he says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus," this is God speaking through Paul, writing to Ephesus, to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers." That's cool. You say, well, that was to them. But everything that's written here, it was canonized, put in here, is for us. It's God's people. And he said, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Now, friends, it's been a while since we've covered this passage. And if you have some notes in the past, you'll get new notes today. But this is a passage we can't miss. And he said, I want you to have the spirit. Spirit. So he said, this is a spiritual thing from the Holy Spirit. He said, you've got to have this spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. So he's saying this. He said, if you don't have the Holy Spirit giving you wisdom and revelation, you're not going to know him better. So what does it say? And we'll get into this in a moment. If you grieve in the Holy Spirit, if there's something in your life and you haven't confessed it or you haven't even attempted to deal with it, then you're grieving the Holy Spirit, and the spirit of wisdom and revelation is not going to be there, not very much for you. So just grab hold of this. Let me just read this. This is so much, it's hard not to just jump into it because it's powerful stuff. And he says, that you may know him better, and I pray that the eyes, interesting, he says this, the eyes of your heart, the part of your heart that can see and feel and discern and understand, may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. Look at all this stuff. He said, I pray this for you. This is what God wants. I just titled this, Living the Way of God in Christ. This is what he wants for you. He said, that power, it's incomparable, that incomparably great power for us who believe, and that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ Jesus from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realm. Far above all rule and authority, power and dominion. By the way, you're going to be there one day. You're going to be above all rule and power and authority and dominion and every name that's invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. What's he saying? He said, this is where Jesus is, and he said, I'm praying for you to get there in your spirit where you're above all this crud. And quit letting the crud of life pull you down. There's just so much crud, garbage, junk. And he said, I want the eyes of your heart enlightened along with the spirit of wisdom and revelation so you stay above this stuff. That you take the high road all the time and then and stay above it. Don't be sucked into everybody else's junk. It's not your problem. By the way, don't make everybody else's problem your problem. And if there's some, if there's somebody that's half-witted on TV, blowing off their, and showing their lack of intelligence, don't get sucked into their deal and get all mad and throw stuff at the TV. There's a few actors and actresses, I just want to you just think, oh, yeah. But then again, it's like, let them go ahead and be a blowhard. Did they hurt you? Did they change the country? There's one thing about an actor and an actress. There's one thing about actors, period. They're actors. They can't function. Their brains don't work unless they have a script in front of them. I used to do a lot of stage work, and in college, I made my way to the stage, there were just so many. It's like, what is wrong with you? They couldn't even talk with you and deal with you like a normal human being unless they were scripted. They had to have a script and play another role. And you say, are you against acting? I love movies, but I think you're kind of idiots outside the role. And that's so wrong to say, but haven't you seen a lot of lunacy here? Standing on the steps up there. There's one in particular, you know, and it's like, how do you keep from being run over, you know? It's a wonder something didn't fall out of the sky. A giant bird could just really clobber you and we'd all be glad. But anyway, he says, he wants you removed and far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's invoked, not only in the present, but in the one to come. And then what does he say? Look at this. And God placed all things under his feet, Jesus' feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. Don't forget that. Tony is not the head of this church. No ministry team. Nobody. Nobody in any office, nobody in any position. Nobody is the head of this church but Jesus Christ. And we all work under his authority. You know, you hear people say, oh, I go to so-and-so's church. Really? It's their church? It probably is. And that's sad, because it's supposed to be the church of Jesus Christ. All these big names and building the empires to themselves, they're really, what are they really? They're nothing but servants. Servants, that's it. So before you get caught up in some big name guy or gal or whoever it is you follow, and they're putting out all these accolades, and oh, I go to so-and-so's church, and I buy so-and-so's books. Really? Oh, I'm impressed. Because they're nothing in the end but supposed to be an humble servant before God. And if they're anything else, they're not where they're supposed to be. Listen to me. The more money, the more power, the more prestige as a Christian that God gives you, the more humble you're supposed to be. You're never being out there to say, mine. You're not to own and say, my Learjet, my classic cars, my this and that. No, it's God's Learjet, it's God's cars, and God's church, and I'm God's servant. And that's all I'll ever be. Doctor so-and-so, all these titles and blah, 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 blah. What are you in the end? A servant of God, and that's all you'll be on this earth. And the scripture teaches you that. You know, you don't lord it over people. You serve them. And that's why Jesus did what? He said, look at me. I'm your Lord and Savior. I'm the big guy. But I'm washing your feet. And he said, everybody in the kingdom, especially those who I put as servants, you know, my under shepherds of the church, they've got to be that humble that they could wash feet. They've got to get in there and get dirty and not have somebody waiting on them on a radio calling, here comes Eagle One. And I actually heard that. I told you about that at a church I visited when I was out of the ministry and when I left the ministry and for a while. And I went and they had in the parking lot, and they had all these people directing traffic. It's a pretty good sized church. And that Eagle One's coming. And they'd run, make a place for Eagle One and Eagle Two, the pastor and his wife. And they would, everybody would run out and open their doors for them. And I thought, that makes me sick. Just the opposite should happen. You should park over here where everybody else can get up close to the church. What if there's somebody that's handicapped and needs your place? Give it to them. And everybody ought to be running over there and helping somebody else that has a problem out of their car and honoring them. And you should be over there pushing the wheelchair in the church. And if you're not, you're worthless. Now, this sounds strong, but it's true. I'm sick and tired of these empire builders being worshipped by people. You worship Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And that's all there is to it. My job here is to get your eyes off of this earth, this planet, off of me, off of each other, and get you focused on Jesus Christ and stay there. That's what this is all about. You see, boy, you're rowdy today. Yes, I am. I put on my own clothes and drove for once. Doggone right. Feeling independent again. Testosterone surged through my body today. And God placed all things under Jesus' feet, and he's the head of the church, and that's his body. We're his body. And the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. So let's break this down, and I'll give you as much as I can, as quick as I can, so you can go jump in your vehicles and get warm and go eat a real warm lunch. I was thinking about a little Chinese place on this side of Bernie, and I thought, oh, I just wish I could eat there today, but I'm kind of afraid to drive in there. But it's a little Chinese place called Lung Fung. Anybody ever went to Lung Fung? Oh, you like it? It's just a dinky little Chinese place, and they have a little buffet, but oh, it's good. And you know what I like on a hot day? On a hot day. Hot day. Are you, Tony, are you ill? On a cold day like this, is hot. That hot and sour, sweet and sour soup, whatever it is. Oh, that's so good. It burns all the way down. And then you can go in after you eat and take Rolaids. But it's good when you eat it there. So anyway, I don't know. You ever get a hanking, a hunger for something like that. And it's just, this is crazy. You ever get one for a Whataburger? How many of you like Whataburger? Oh, that's why y'all sit over there. This is a radical bunch. Me too. I would probably get in a fight over a Whataburger. If somebody would have bite into my Whataburger, y'all had to come get me, pay my bail. You know, sometimes I just want one so bad, Yeah, that's just the way it is, you know. So let me get back to this. I'm wondering here. So the first thing he says that he wants you to have, listen to this, is the spirit of wisdom. That's our first bullet point. And he says, I pray for you to have the spirit of wisdom. And then he says spirit of revelation. We'll get that in a moment. But he said, I want you to have the spirit of wisdom. Now, the Holy Spirit is the spirit of wisdom. And he said, I want you to have that. Now, and listen, if there's anything we all need, it's wisdom. And I don't mean intelligence, and I don't mean just from life's experience, but God's wisdom. To see in a situation what God's wanting to accomplish and what our role in that is. If anything. Do you know sometimes God will tell you, you're not to take action in this. I want somebody else to do this. Or I've got another plan here. You pray and leave it alone. But there's many times he's saying, You do this, you speak these words, you counsel this person, you share this information, but be sure it's God's word, God's truth that you're sharing. So the spirit of wisdom, listen to me. You say, how do I get wisdom? You know, when he says the wisdom, we want to be practical, and I always ask God, well, how do we do it? What do I tell these people? What do you want me to say about spirit of wisdom? I mean, you said, you wrote in here, I want you to have it. How do they get it? And here's what the Lord put on my heart to do. First of all, you've got to learn to really read the scripture. Read it. Now you can say meditate and pray about it, and you should do that, but just read it. Don't let a day pass without you reading some portion of scripture. Because you've got to have the word in your heart for God to enlighten you with it. You've got to know it and listen. And then as you do that, you have to pray for understanding. Here's one of the problems with Christians. They've been taught, you've been taught, I've been taught, I was taught in seminary. And I went back to seminary and was taught some more in seminary. And so I had all that training and teaching. I'm not running that down. But there was a lot of things that were denominational, doctrinal for the denomination, that as finally God got through to me, I had to leave the ministry, and for God to be able, then while I was out, to start to show me some of these things, a lot of things. They were not totally what the scripture says. They're what the denomination wanted you to believe about it. So, you know, and God began to take me back. See, you read the word and just preach and teach that word. You live this word. You don't interpret it according to them. or they, or your favorite person on TV or whatever, or you know, on the internet or whatever, you look at this word and pray for understanding of exactly what it says, and it doesn't make any difference what you've been told in the past or what somebody else has told you it means. What does God say it means to your heart? How does it apply to you? And then, as you pray, read, and you pray for understanding, what else do you do? Listen. Listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to Him speaking to you about what God wants done with this. How does this apply in my life? How do I go out here and use this today and tomorrow? So as you God, give me wisdom. And God's saying, you're reading my book? You're reading my word? You want wisdom? No, start knowing what I... That's wisdom. Know what I say. That's my wisdom in there. And pray for understanding. Galatians 6, it says, don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. You reap what you sow. So don't be negligent with this. You want to reap good things, do the right thing. And listen to God. Listen to what He's saying about that word. That's, how do you think I get this message? I got to listen to Him. And it has to overcome things I've been told in my life. And this is the certain faith and message of a denomination or this and that. No, what are you saying? What does this word say? Keep it simple. Just keep it simple. I wrote this down because I want to share it with you because God put it in my heart. You ready? When it comes to wisdom, stop depending on what you think you know. And start depending on what God says you should know. Now, Lord, just put that in my heart. It's like, whoa, whoa. Stop depending on what you think you know. And start depending on what God says you should know. You hear Christians all the time, and this is, I'm not knocking anybody or anything, but you hear them say, well, I think, well, now the way I, no, I don't, but that's not what God wants. God wants you to be able to say, you know, the Lord says this, and I've got to follow that. It's not what I think or what I want to think or what I want to do. I hear people tell me, you know, this is so prevalent, especially amongst a crowd that's just kind of wishy-washy with Jesus Christ, and they're saying, here's a classic, right? You all know this, right? I can't believe a loving God would say, you can't do this. A loving God wouldn't let somebody go to hell because they are of a certain, you know, sexual persuasion. A loving God couldn't keep two people who loved each other, and even if they're the same sex. A loving God, you know, he would overlook that. There's a place called Sodom and a place called Gomorrah, and a loving God did not overlook that. Now listen, my friends, God does not change. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And our loving God has said, here's my word. I'm not here to send you to hell. But if you reject my word, you send yourself to hell. No, our loving God is not here to send not one person into the fire of hell. We send ourselves. And He's not here to bring hell upon us in this life. Most of the time, we bring our own hell upon ourselves. And if we don't, we're doing things that lets the devil in, and he brings hell upon us. Isn't it true? Does God bring that? God brings godliness, justice, holiness, goodness. But I mean, I foul up so much, and here comes the enemy. And he said, just one more little wiggle, Tony, and I'll bring hellfire on your life. I'm going to ask you something. Why do we keep taking the same bait and getting caught the same way? Now, that's the definition of really dumb. But we do it. And the devil knows what bait to dangle. What's your bait? What does he bait you with? What does he do to just make you madder? What does he do to make you throw a cuss fit? He knows, he dangles that bait. And as you reach out there and get hooked, he starts pushing those little fiery buttons all over you. And before you know it, you're raving and cussing and slinging. Did you accomplish anything with that? Except people just walk away from you. Kids hide under the table. Everybody else locks themselves in the closet. You know what happens if you throw these fits enough? You just get ignored. You know, one thing, I talk about the military a lot. If you're going to throw a fit, don't do it very often. Make it really count. It's one of the things to tell lieutenants, don't go out there yelling, doing all this stuff. Let your sergeants do that. But when you do raise your voice, it needs to be so seldom that the whole dead gun platoon stops and goes, "Whoa." And, company commander, it's like when, they call you old man. When the old man raises his voice, it needs to be so seldom. You need to be controlled. Everybody going, "Oh, God, we don't want to do that again." Is it God that way? God's so kind and loving, he seldom raises his voice. But when he does, you say, what do you mean? He raises his voice to us. He lets things happen, and we're going, "Oh, God. I don't believe I should have said that. I don't believe I should have done that." And God is seldom. See, that's why he's moves in that small, still voice. But once in a while, he's knocking tables and chairs over, and we're going, "Phew." Ever knocked over any tables and chairs in your personal life? Yeah. And you knew it was God. And not being detrimental, but the old man, I think I've ticked off the old man. I better repent of this and not tick him off anymore. You get this? Read. Pray for understanding. And listen to what God says. And you definitely don't depend on what you think you know. You depend on what God wants you to know. The spirit of wisdom, by the way, if you're going to have a personal relationship with God, that's what he says. That God, the Lord Jesus, give you the spirit of wisdom, revelation, so you may know him better. He said, that's why I want you to have wisdom and revelation. I want you to know Jesus better. Can I ask you this question? How well do you know him? How well do you know Jesus? Are you friends? Can you hear and speak to your heart right now? When you're driving along, do you know that the Lord suddenly is just speaking to you? Let me ask, listen to this. You're driving along, and somebody cuts you off, or maybe, I don't know, one of those blue herons flies over and decides that your windshield is the place for him to greet you. Do you get mad at that, or do you say, "Wait a minute, what's God telling me? Is he speaking to me about this, something? This person cut me off, and I threw a fit. Is God now, did he allow that to say, I really want you to knock this off, and I want you to start trusting me. I want you to see me even in the dirty things that hit your windshield. I want you to see that I allow stuff to happen that's innocuous. You got to go wash your windshield and you cuss the bird. But in doing that, do you ever think, is God showing me maybe there's some gunk in my life he wants removed and it's splattering on God's windshield? You're getting wise when you start seeing life that way. You're getting revelation. You're getting into a more deeper and personal relationship with Jesus. You're obtaining the ability, the special ability to understand God's word and how it applies, and to see Jesus out there in all of life. You're regaining the power to see beyond the surface. And when somebody throws a fit and they're having a bad day around you, instead of getting mad at them, wisdom, when along with wisdom is not mentioned here, but discernment and wisdom go together. With wisdom, God gives you discernment to look in their life and realize this is not about you at all. God, let them do this in front of you, maybe at you, so you could be the one to look beyond it and say, wow, they're really hurting. They have an issue. Pastors, if I had a room full of pastors here, if I was teaching in seminary, you know what I'd say to these young pastors sitting before me? People are going to get in your face, and you're going to find a great deal of hurt in your life. People are going to take a lot of stuff out on you. But before you take it home and let it ruin your life, your family, and you're throwing a fit at the house, remember this. When people are upset with God, they can't get to Him. And they're going to take it out on the one who represents the Lord. That goes with this turf. If a person is unhappy with God, you can guarantee they're going to be unhappy with their pastor. We represent the Lord. Make sense? And in your personal walk, if somebody's unhappy with the Lord and I'm not around, they're going to take it out on you. And so look beneath the surface and understand, I'm not their problem. God is. And wisdom will show you what to do. Let's move on real quick. Then we pray for the, he said, the Spirit, God give you the spirit of revelation that you may know Him better. What the word, that word, that term in here, revelation, it means vision and insight. It's discerning. This revelation is the fullness of knowledge acquired through personal acquaintance. In other words, what he's saying is, the more you know Jesus, the more you have revelation. Not of things to come necessarily, but of things that are. And you get it revealed to you why this is happening. Why is this going this way? Why is this evil person still there? Did this good person get taken up to heaven? And you ask those questions. Well, revelation, that's the revealing of God's will in His Word and His purpose. And you begin to see it by knowing Him more personally. And you're saying, oh, that's what you're up to. Oh, I see. You see, we grieve and we say, God, why did you take this good person? They were my friend. They were my husband, my wife, my child. It's a horrible thing. Yes, it's terrible. And God's saying, you can't see it from my perspective? No, I see it from mine. You took them from me. I'm angry at you. And He said, what's the ultimate reward for me to take them into my kingdom where they don't hurt anymore? And you're not letting go. You won't turn them over to me. You're clinging. You're saying, mine, mine, mine. And He said, no. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. You're my body. I'm giving them a reward. I'm honoring them for their service to me. That's the ultimate reward. They have a crown of righteousness on their head up here. And you begin to get that revelation and understand, yes, I'm hurting. He said, I know you are. I'll minister to you. I'll help you. But one day I'm going to call you up and I'm going to put that crown on your head. And you're going to be going, praise God, and falling before me. And others are going to be saying, why'd you take them? Because I love them. You see, we got to see it from His perspective. And this revelation is just that. Oh, that's why you're doing that. You're not depriving me. You're honoring them. And you've honored me by being with them. And it won't be that long till I wear my crown and somebody will miss me. Let me tell you something. Purpose to live the life on this earth. Not only that will be rewarded with the crown of righteousness in heaven, but live the life that when God calls you up, others will sincerely miss you. You've had such a godly impact on them. What better epitaph? Okay. He says, the eyes, I pray the eyes of your heart be enlightened. It just caught me off. I said, the eyes of my heart. It's like, Tony, what do you see with these? Or do you see life from your heart? My people should see from the heart. Man, you got to go way beyond this and see with the heart. That's where this wisdom and this discernment, this revelation comes in the heart. The eyes of your heart. What is the heart? It's the seat of the Greeks. And it's this time, the heart was the seat of thought and moral judgment. It was the place of feeling. And he said, I want that enlightened so that you can see with your heart, that you can experience me, Jesus Christ, God the Father, the Holy Spirit, from the heart. From the heart. We can have an intimate relationship in the heart. I want you enlightened. I want that. I want you to know deep inside of you that I'm who I am. I'll do what I say. And I'm not here to hurt you at all. I'm here to save you and heal you and cleanse you, forgive you, and I'm here to bless you. Let me get in the deep interior of your heart and fully light it up with the Holy Spirit. In other words, I want you filled with the Holy Spirit, who is the light of Christ, so that you can become the light of the world. Whoa, it's good stuff, right? I mean, this is where it's at. And he says, with that, then I want you to know the hope he's called you to. Watch that. He said, you've been called to Christ. You're given salvation when you're receiving your penny, your sins. You ask him into your heart. And he said, you're still being called. Don't you see that? God called you to salvation. Now you're being called to what? Holiness. Lordship. Oneness with Christ. He didn't put you here just to be saved. Salvation is that beautiful, wonderful, giant step, but it's the first step. And then what? Turn your life over to him. Let him have the lordship of your life, your soul, your heart, and this enlightenment, all this revelation and wisdom. And what comes with that? I become holy. I become a light to the world, the salt of the earth. He's living in and through me. He's doing his God thing through me. Man, I am the walking, literal walking kingdom of God on this earth, because I'm the body of Christ and my body is God's temple, the temple of the Holy Spirit. Think of it that way. That's what you are. We're all of those things. How powerful this is. And if you're not that yet, let go and let him come into your life. Accept him as your Savior and Lord. Let him forgive you your sins. And if you've done that, then come on, get with it. Do what he's saying here. Get that spirit of wisdom and revelation. Well, let's close this up so we can go get warm. Ready? And he says, I want you to know the riches. He says, it talks about the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people. What is the riches / wealth of God? God wants you to know, listen to this. He wants you to know your wealth in him through Christ. He wants you to know what he's given you. You're the new Israel. Did you know that? You're the new Israel. You're a promised an inheritance in heaven. Do you realize that when you did Scripture, I'm just reading this in Scripture, and over in Galatians, you can read it for yourself. It said, you know, you are now children of Abraham. When you believe in Jesus Christ, it said you inherit all of the blessings and the promises guaranteed to Abraham. You ever thought of it? You say, wait a minute. Are you telling me I'm Jewish? You're more of a Jew than the Jews themselves. They rejected him, you accepted him, and you're grafting on to that vine. And Abraham is your forefather. And every promise, you read it in Galatians, every promise made to Abraham is yours. Why in the world are we not taking up these promises and getting with it? Everything promised to him. Abraham was a wealthy guy. He was the friend of God. When are you going to start? And claim your inheritance. Well, say, hey, Father Abraham, thank you. Thanks. You're the new Israel. You're rich right now in God's love, God's grace, God's salvation, His redemption, His forgiveness, and His power over the enemy. You're rich right now in getting your needs met. You have a home in heaven. Maybe you don't like your home now, but you're going to like the one you're going to get. I want to close with this. You also have, it says, that power, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. What power is that? The power to cast the devil out, cast demons out. The power in faith to touch another person and communicate with their soul. Your spirits bearing witness with each other. And the power of prayer to lay your hands on another and see God work through you as His vessel. You have all of that. You have His enormous power spiritually, physically. You have it inwardly, and you can see it outwardly. You have God's power. Look, God's power to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, think about it, is your power that you're living with right now. You know why? Because Jesus Christ came into your life after God raised Him from the dead, and He raised you from the dead. You were dead in your trespasses and sins. And think about it. You were in the tomb, headed for hell. And Jesus Christ took that stone away, that old hard, cold stone of your heart, and He saved you, and He brought you out, and He resurrected you unto salvation. You have experienced the miracle of life, of resurrection from the dead, and don't even know it. Now go live in that power and rejoice in what you have in Christ. You were in a tomb, and now you're out and free. You've been raised from the dead and forgiven. You are alive in Christ. Now ask God to give you that spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowing of His power. God raised you from the dead. Now, dead, burn it. Get in there and let God use you to bring that power into other people's lives. Father, thank You that we can come here and enjoy this Word, but more than that, be changed and transformed by it, be renewed by it. Give us wisdom, give us revelation, give us that intimacy and closeness with You. God, open the eyes of our heart to understanding that we can see, really see, from the heart. What Your will is, what You want. That we can begin to live this life and stay above all this junk out here, Lord, seeing it from Your perspective. Anybody that's hurt today because of a loss, something they don't understand, please give them wisdom and revelation, the understanding that You've never meant to hurt them, You've meant to bless. And all those we miss so much that are with You in heaven, that's their reward. We wish we had them back, but they wouldn't come back if You opened the door and said, here you go. They love it so much with You, and we will too. In the meantime, help us, Lord. We've got a job to do, to go out here in this world and make disciples. And the way You blessed us to do it, give us all the wisdom and revelation we can get. And all the power of God that's raised us from the dead, we go forth fearing nothing. We have power over the enemy. We have power over all this. Keep us above and facing You and focused on You. We thank You in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.